Welcome everybody back to another amazing episode of HomeKit Insider. It is Andrew here, along with my pal, who Gandhi once called who? Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Hey, you know, if our listeners missed it, I feel like we should remind them that we had an amazing interview in last week's episode, the Molecule CEO, Jay Oral. I'm pretty sure that's how we pronounce it. We can't ask her right now because she's not on this episode. But she was on last week's episode, and it was a really fun interview. And, you know, if you didn't know this, the conversation went to zombies in conjunction with air purifiers. So
yeah, made sense in context, I guess.
Yeah. So you should totally check that out, listener, if you didn't. That was in your feed the very last episode, so check it out. So I'm using my AirPods Max headphones to listen to you right now, Andrew. This is not a news bit. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it because it really has nothing to do with HomeKit. But it has something to do with this podcast, so I guess maybe it's part of it.
Yeah, it's like tangentially related, just a little bit. Yeah. I'm also wearing mine at the moment. It's kind of interesting because I'm using like transparency mode.
Yeah.
Which is like it's not an echo, but it's just, it's a little weird.
Not ideal, you know, kind of monitoring headphones, but that's okay. You know, they're fun. Just wanted to throw that out there. I'm using the hardwired cable for $35. It is a very, very thin cable, given that price, but it seems to be working. So there you have it. All right, let's get to HomeKit news. So iOS 14.3 and all that came out, and there was actually a 14.3 update for the HomePods, but now the next developer betas have been released for 14.4, and like Andrew and I spoke about weeks ago, talking about how the U1 chip and all that, we found out it's not really being used for handoff right now, the ultra-wideband chip in the HomePod Mini. Well, now with the developer beta for 14.4, the HomePod Mini is now utilizing that U1 ultra-wideband chip for the handoff. And Andrew, you have a video kind of showing what that's like, right?
Yeah, we put out our video already of 14.4, the first beta of that, and it requires both the 14.4 beta for your iOS device, your iPhone, as well as your HomePod Mini. The HomePod Mini, I'm not even sure if it's actually coming through the developer portal because there's no developer practicality for that, but I believe it is open to Apple Seed beta testers. So there's a whole thing, but you do require the 14.4 update on your HomePod Mini as well as your iPhone. But don't anybody be rushing to try this out because you just need to do it because it is buggy as just all get out. I cannot tell you guys how long I spent this morning trying to get this beta video out the door before we jumped on this recording. I mean, Steven, this was crashing like crazy. I'm trying to get it on camera like all morning before recording. Oh, I'm just passing it back and forth. Everything's smooth. I go to record and it's like, no, I'm not doing that. And just wouldn't show the screens at all. Eesh. So it was a huge pain in the butt to actually replicate it consistently for my video. But what it does is it is super cool when it works. So your HomePod Mini, there's like all these things happening at once. So the first thing is your HomePod Mini, the light on the top of it. It gets small and dim in the middle and then slowly emanates outwards as your phone gets closer. So as your phone is getting closer, that light is getting brighter and brighter as you approach. And at the same time, your phone is vibrating. So as you start to get a little bit close, you get a little bit of haptic feedback. But as you get closer and closer, the vibration becomes more and more intense until like the last second, as you get finally close enough, the light like flashes and you get like one last large tap on your phone and the handoff actually happens where it transfers the audio from your phone to the HomePod. Okay. Or the HomePod Mini to your iPhone. There's a little banner at the top, similar to how it is now, but there's a little banner at the top that shows you like a glyph of the HomePod Mini, the name, where it's located and everything, and you can tap on that early to manually hand off your audio. But if you just bring it closer, you can see it slowly start to kind of, it'll morph from that little bar to a full screen card. And that card will have like the album art of what is playing, the name of the track and everything like that, audio controls and additional AirPlay options to reroute that audio if you need to. So it's overall just a very cool experience, sure. Much better than what we're seeing now. It's just buggy. I mean, we're in beta 1. There's no expectations here, but it was just it was just me having like just the time. Like I literally took the video live, by the way, as we were sitting here recording. Like I'm like, okay, yep, HomePod mini handoff, yep, details live, public done, yep. Like that's literally how how slow I was getting this video out.
Wow.
Just because of the stupid HomePod mini handoff experience not working as smoothly as it should when this thing is released. As far as release goes, we should still see this by the end of the year. There's no other big changes in this beta update that we saw. There's really minor ones, such as being able to have the perspective zoom on wallpapers that you're setting from the Shortcuts app, and a couple changes for VoiceOver. But Apple is still promising this improved experience by the end of the year. And if that tracks, then we could see this in a week or so, if Apple's actually able to polish this up a bit more.
Well, it's cool. It's finally coming. The thing that we said was there for weeks ago. But anyway, it's going to be great. So 14.4, be on the lookout for that. Another bit of news, Eve actually brought their HomeKit app. So if you have Eve devices, you probably have the Eve app on your iPhone. I believe they also have it on iPad. And it's a great app, especially you can manage, you know, all your HomeKit devices in it. But they actually brought that app to the Mac. And so I'll put a link in show notes, but you can use Eve's app not only to control its devices but your other HomeKit devices. And you know, Eve makes good stuff, so you can get that app for your Mac right now. It's totally free.
Yeah, that has definitely been one of my favorite HomeKit apps, and the version 5 that just dropped a few days ago, as you guys are listening to this, there's so not only are we getting Mac support here, but they added some more kind of behind the scenes updates for iOS 14 and iPadOS 14, including a nice new native sidebar over on the iPad. There's a new dark icon, so for anyone who likes the dark mode aesthetic on their phones like full time, you can switch it to a darker icon that kind of matches your phone more. And we have port for those latest generation Dorn window sensors with Thread. That update is released with the update of the version 5 of the Eve app. So now if you have one of the latest generation Dorn window sensors from Eve, you can update those to support Thread. But when it comes to the Mac, there is one big asterisk that makes me kind of sad.
Hmm.
There is no Intel support, man. This is M1 Max only.
Wow.
So if you are someone who's running the new Mac Mini, MacBook Air, or MacBook Pro with Apple Silicon on the inside, you can play with this. If you are like me and you're working primarily on a Mac Pro or the, you know, millions of other people on a non-M1 based Mac, you can't use this. And I'm very sad by that.
That's amazing, because I've run into several issues where apps are not updating for the M1. But I think this is the first one that I've heard of where it's only supporting the M1 and not Intel. That's a bold move, Eve. All right.
I know. You usually get like universal apps or something. I don't know. I was pretty bummed about it, but I mean, it's something better than nothing, but you know how it is.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll put a link in show notes directly to the Mac app and Andrew's article on Apple Insider. You can check that out there. Now, the big device that had came out recently, we touched on it last week, but Logitech released a HomeKit secure video doorbell, wired doorbell. We've been wanting something like this for a long time, and we love Logitech. We've been using the Circle View we've talked about in the past, and now Andrew has the doorbell and has reviewed it. So, Andrew, tell us about the Logitech Circle View HomeKit secure video doorbell.
Man, that's a lot of words in a title. A lot of words. It was actually fun trying to make the title for the YouTube video, because there was literally so many words to jam in there.
Yeah.
HomeKit, secure video, circle view, doorbell, review, Logitech. It was like, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, So I've now had this for quite a while. We've got this thing installed, using it, and I kind of wanted to break our review up into two separate categories. So first, we're going to talk about the doorbell itself, installation, what you get, how it works, all of that. But I also want to talk about HomeKit and HomeKit Secure Video and how it kind of works and doesn't work for doorbells. Because I've had a very different experience using HSV for my doorbell than I have for the rest of the house.
Okay.
And I don't want to lay that on Logitech either, some of the issues that I have, because Logitech is doing kind of what Apple would prefer, and that's creating a HomeKit-only doorbell. Like, there's literally no app for this. There's no Alexa support, nothing like that. This is HomeKit only, which is, you know, great on Apple's end. But when there are issues with HomeKit or anything like that, then the fault does lie with Apple. So I kind of want to break this up into those two parts. So starting with the doorbell itself, we kind of went through some of the rough specs there, but you've got Nice, solid video. You have a small, compact device that'll fit on a lot of door frames. It's pretty thin as far as doorbells go. He has a an all-glass front on here. Nice lens there at the top, 160-degree field of view. I heard people kind of wanting it both ways. I heard some people saying they wanted more field of view. Some people wanted less field of view. I don't think you're going to make everyone happy. I was happy with the field of view as far as the left and right goes, that kind of 160-degree lens. But what's different with this one compared to many others is they actually went with like a, I think it's like a 3-4 ratio, but it's not 3-4. It's actually 4-3, as in it is taller than it is wide. And I have a little bit of a problem with that on Logitech's part. So Logitech calls it their head-to-toe field of view. So when someone is standing in front of your door about 2 feet away, you should see them from their head to their toe, depending on how tall they are.
Sure.
In my experience, that is accurate. That is fine. But it doesn't go quite enough. This is like the most simple thing, but if I had several packages delivered with this installed, and I can't see them on the camera, because a lot of delivery drivers were taking them and placing them on my doormat. I can't see what is on my doormat through the Logitech Circle View. It's literally just too close, and it was completely missing them. So I kind of needed a little bit wider field of view vertically than Logitech included. I mean, I could see a person there, but if someone came and tossed something on my porch, if I ever pulled up my camera, I literally can't see if there's a package there or not. And for me, that was a little bit annoying. I do get so many packages in, and I do have my camera feeds up consistently. It was a pain not being able to see that. So that was my minor problem with that vertical field of view. Otherwise, it's nice. And depending on your layout, you may be okay. But like the doormat is like such a natural spot for delivery drivers to set packages. And the fact that you couldn't see them on that very common spot was annoying to me.
Yeah.
I also could have used additional view left and right. There's other ones out there, notably the Arlo, which is what we're going to talk about a lot, because I did have the Arlo prior to the Logitech Circle View, and the Arlo, it also had a really tall field of view, but they actually had a 1:1 ratio. They had a square. I'm hoping I'm recalling this correctly, but they had a square point field of view, which was, I think, better because you're not sacrificing your left and right view for your up and down, which is what Logitech seems to have done. They took your normal sensor and then just turned it and rotated the video.
Right.
Why do we have to sacrifice one over the other? Why can't I have a wide left and right field of view as well as a vertical field of view? So that's my one thing with the sensor. It's good. There's no huge issues with it, but it's a design trade-off that they made. And it's a little funny because whenever you're opening things and like your notifications come in, a lot of times it'll come in stretched all the way left to right before HomeKit realizes that it's a vertical video and then crops in with the black bars. So it's kind of funny when like notifications and stuff come in because HomeKit, it's like it's not ready for that and automatically stretches it before it crops it back into the correct aspect ratio. So that's it on the field of view. Otherwise, the footage is very clear. I'm very happy with how the footage looks. Night vision is very solid because there's actually an LED light bar on the front of the doorbell itself. So if someone is approaching your door at night, there's that always on light bar that gives you color night vision. So that's been very handy to see anything. Of course, if you have other HomeKit lights, you can use motion to trigger your porch lights or something. So if you have porch lights or hue lights outside, anything like that, you can tie a notification to that. So if someone comes up to your door, you detect motion, you can go ahead and kick those lights on and get you even better night vision. But even just relying on the LED light bar there, I was very happy with the color night vision this gained. It still has support for HDR video as well. So if you're backlit, you're going to get much better shadows. Everything looks more balanced. High dynamic range video is also nice to have on this doorbell.
So I don't know about you. I'm not a super do-it-yourselfer. So what was installation like on this wired doorbell?
Well, there are two options here. Well, two and an asterisk again, because I don't make anything simple. But when you're picking this up, you have two options. You can pick up the regular Circle View doorbell from Apple or from Logitech for $200. But if you are cautious about this, you don't really know how to do the wired doorbell or anything like that, or you're buying it for a gift for someone who may not know, you're buying this for a relative and you don't want to do it and you're not sure if they can do the installation themselves, there is a second version of this that comes with a Hello Tech voucher. So it's an extra $100, but it comes with basically a voucher for installation. So they get the box, they open it up, and there's a little code you put in on the website, and a tech will come out and install the doorbell for you.
Fancy.
That's a nice kind of option, especially if you're gifting this for someone. So I like how they kind of figured that out, and I like how the code is included in the box versus some sort of digital thing that you may get on purchase. So that's one option, but of course I did the self-install option. And even in my review, I was like, oh, you don't need the chime. Because the way I hooked it up, you didn't need the chime. So there is the chime converter in the box that'll connect to most existing doorbell chimes out there that you already have in your house. There's little adapters and all the little shenanigans necessary to pull that off.
Right.
In my case, I didn't have a wired doorbell at my house. So I wired up my own power and routed my wires and everything like that, which I've been using for a Ring doorbell ages ago. I then switched over to that Arlo wired doorbell for a long time and was running off of that power. Literally years I've been using this just power adapter and a set of wires, and it has worked absolutely fine. So when this guy came in, I just did the same thing. I just removed my Arlo, connected this thing up with the same wires. I bought this on Amazon. It was just basically a doorbell power supply. I haven't had any issues with it. I didn't connect the chime whatsoever. It didn't give me any errors, no problems at all with that. But Logitech's official stance is you are required to have the chime. There's something for regulating power.
Hey?
They say you... not electricians here, Steven. Well, I guess I can speak for myself. I know you're a professional electrician.
Everything. No, I'm certainly not. So I will admit it now.
Yeah. So I don't know where that stands for certainty. So I don't want to tell everyone that you don't need the chime, but I can say that I wired mine up without the chime, without any issues and limitations. Because during the setup process, you do have an option of, do you want the actual physical doorbell to chime or do you want your HomePods to chime? So I just turned off the doorbell chime and went on my way, and I have not had any issues in my time using the doorbell. So I will put that out there. You guys can take that for what it's worth and kind of risk it on your own. So that's how the installation process was. Otherwise, it was pretty easy. You have the wires coming in the back. You have a little mounting box. There's also an angled one that works on the left or right side of your door, I think 45-degree angle. Screw that into your wall. Your doorbell clips into that. It holds in very securely. There's pogo pins on the back for the connectivity, so nothing goes into the back of the doorbell itself through the wires, which is very handy. To remove it, I had a lot of people asking in the video, oh, can't someone just steal this? It's going to get the job done. It's going to alert you that there's someone at your door before they're able to remove this. The same thing would go with any security camera of hitting with a rock or a shovel or ripping this off your door. It's going to notify you before that happens. And honestly, I'd rather be notified and can do something about it before that person just gets into my house and just starts going rampant stealing all of my things. So if they really tried, they could probably rip this off of your door, but it is screwed on and you do need a tool, basically like a SIM card removal tool, to press a pin at the bottom to be able to get it to remove. So unless the thief is coming with a SIM card removal tool, he's probably going to struggle for a second figuring out how to like rip this off. And you're going to get a notification, you know, hopefully before they would be able to do that.
Sure.
So that, of course, could be stolen like any doorbell or security camera, security system, anything like that. But it'll do its job. And if you're going to lose $200, but you're going to prevent them from stealing anything else in your house, I'll take that loss. So that's basically it for the installation.
Okay, so this is a HomeKit Secure video doorbell, meaning camera. So what is it like managing or using it just as a camera? You know, I have a Logitech Circle View and do that in HomeKit. It's the only way to do it. So what is it like using this doorbell as a HomeKit Secure video camera?
Setup was a little bit weird. The way that Logitech asks you to do this is you plug it in using a USB cable and you scan the HomeKit pairing code on the back of the device and it goes through the HomeKit setup. I didn't do that because I don't follow instructions.
Of course.
I just connected mine. The good news is there's literally a HomeKit pairing code in the box. If you are, like a lot of you out there, I'm sure, using the HomePass app, you can save it in there and manually enter it. So I didn't do that. I just plugged mine into power, like connected it to the wires and scanned the code on the box to go through the installation. But it'll pop up in the Home app as it normally would do. You're going to walk through your basic kind of HomeKit onboarding questions. Where is this? Give it a name. What room is it in? You have a light sensor, a lux sensor on there. You have a motion sensor, and then you have the camera itself. So there's like three things, like the doorbell. I don't know if that counts as like a separate. It doesn't count as like separate accessory, but basically those are the three things that you're adding to Home, the Home app that you can actually see. So you'll have those guys. It'll ask you if you want to chime your HomePods or chime the doorbell or both, as we talked about. So that's part of the onboarding experience. Then you go through your HomeKit secure video setup. So do you want, who do you want to have access to this? Other people in your home. And then do you want this to, what do you want it to do when you're home? And then what do you want it to do when you're away? So in my case, I want it to do everything all the time.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
It is my doorbell. So I want it to record and stream when I'm home, and I want to record and stream when I'm gone. But if you prefer, you could have it just stream and just get notifications when you're home and record when you're away, anything like that. Then it'll ask you, I believe, if you want to use a facial recognition, which is a new feature with iOS 14, and you're basically set up. So it goes into the home app. You have those three sensors or those three different devices. Handy because you can tie anything else to those other devices. So you can actually turn on, instead of relying on sunsets, for turning on like your porch lights or something or your outdoor lights, you could use the light sensor on the doorbell to trigger those when the light gets low enough to trigger your lights to come on. That's kind of a handy usability feature there. You can create an automation that only turns on your porch lights when you come home if the light is low enough. That's what I did. So instead of just turning on my porch lights every time I arrive home, I only do it if it's dark enough out. That way I'm not unnecessarily turning the porch lights on.
Sure.
So that's one option you got there. It goes into the home app. There's a bunch of different options for HomeKit secure video as far as what you're doing, who's having access to it. Are you getting notifications for all motion? Are you getting notifications when you're home versus when you're away? You can set up your activity zones, all that stuff. But I'll come back to the kind of the, we'll talk about the HomeKit secure video issues in a little bit. But it really does work as expected for a doorbell. Press the button and my HomePod's chimed. It comes up on my Apple TV, which is probably my favorite feature because I always have it on in my studio, not necessarily watching video, but even if I'm listening to audio or something through my Sonos soundbar there with my Apple TV. It's on a lot. So I like the ability to see, you know, I'm here working and I can see on my Apple TV an alert come in the corner and get a live preview of who is at my door. It's very cool.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
The doorbell aspect works perfectly. The whole bottom of the doorbell, the Logitech doorbell, is actually a button. So there's a tiny little round part that lights up so you know where to press. But the whole bottom of the doorbell is a button by itself. So if they miss it a little bit, it actually makes it a little bit more accurate. The whole thing physically clicks down. So it works very well.
How fast is it, like someone rings the doorbell, how fast does it pop up on like a TV screen?
It's a little bit hard to say just because a lot of times I'm doing the testing and I'm like, I literally set up the camera, then run upstairs and press the button and then run back down and check and make sure my video recorded correctly. But it seems quick. It seems fast enough. Like it, as far as like ringing on my HomePods and everything like that, the notification on my phone takes like another half a second longer, but it's very quick going to your home devices. It's kind of just like sending a HomeKit signal throughout your home with any other device. So intercom or anything like that, it's pretty quick in waking up those devices and getting the chime. So I had no issues with that aspect of it. Maybe outside your home, which again, I can't tell because I'm outside my home when it's happening, I could see it maybe being slightly slower for that video preview to come in. But for the most part, it seemed faster for me than other video doorbells. I mean, I especially like in my Ring, oh my gosh, is it faster than the Ring.
Okay.
But I'd get like a notification on my watch that there's motion detected, I'd look at it and I'd see the UPS truck and I could run to the door and, you know, talk to the UPS person before they delivered my stuff. So it's fast enough for what I need it to be.
Okay. So talk to me about the challenges with it being a HomeKit device. And obviously you've messed around with other video doorbells. I just have my Vivint home security one to kind of really compare, and that's just a whole different world of stuff, not HomeKit at all. So what is it like using this one as opposed to other ones that you've used in the past, or what are some of the challenges that HomeKit has?
Yeah, so I came from this from my Arlo video doorbell, the wired one, and I really, really liked it. There's a lot of amazing features that Arlo bakes in, especially with their AI kind of stuff, and that is where Apple is hugely lacking. So like Arlo can tell me if there's a package, a vehicle, person, all of those things. HomeKit can tell you a person, a vehicle, an animal, or just any motion. And originally, just because we're testing this, I left it with just like the default. So if there was motion on my doorbell, I would get an alert. And I even cropped it in because we have the road going in front of our house. So I cropped it down using the activity zones. And here's part of the problem with the doorbell using or video analysis versus a PIR sensor, because the PIR sensor is actually going to detect motion. It's like bouncing stuff back, and it's able to detect when something is moving. Versus just video analysis, they're just looking for any changes on the video. So originally what was happening to me, I had notifications like every second.
Oh my.
Like it was literally just bombarding my phone because there would be wind blowing a branch. There was a freaking ribbon moving on a Christmas decoration. Anything like that, and it was sending me a notification. And unlike other ones like Arlo, or I think this even works with like Eufy cams, where you can limit how many notifications you get. Like I only get notified for motion once every 5 minutes or something like that. No, HomeKit just every time it sees it, boom, 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 boom. And I'm just getting a barrage of notification coming in. So I immediately said, that's not going to work. I can't just leave it on. If motion detected, send me a notification, because my alerts were out of control.
Okay.
So I had to then part it back. And I said, only if there is a vehicle, an animal, or person, alert me. We have a lot of stray cats, and my wife likes to be like, oh, look, there's the orange one on our porch again. So I left it for animals. But really, I cared about the vehicles and the people. So we had it set for those. And even then, I'm having issues, because what happens is cars drive down the road, the car lights will hit my car and just like have a reflection. What's the doorbell do? It goes, oh, there was motion. And then it's like, there's a vehicle on your porch or a vehicle in your driveway. I'm like, what? Who's here? And I pull it up. I'm like, yeah, it's just my own car again.
What?
So it's like, it's detecting motion again because that light flashed and nothing actually happened. So it detected a vehicle because technically there's a vehicle there, but it detected motion, determined it was a vehicle, and then sent me an alert.
Wow.
That's what happens when you're using, you know, video analysis versus PIR. So that's a thing. The AI is also still not completely up to snuff in terms of even detecting what is a person versus what is other things. I still get notifications from the doorbell saying, oh, there's a person on your porch, when it's not. There's nothing there. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't even know what it thinks is a person. Like, there's nothing here that even looks like person-like. And it's still sending me, there's a person on your doorbell alerts. Those are kind of some of Apple's issues. And it's definitely on Apple's side. Because, again, Logitech just developed this. They're like, it's HomeKit, and everything else is on Apple. And that's definitely a bummer when that kind of happens.
Yeah.
And comparatively, going to my Arlo, so Arlo will be like, okay, there's motion. And I believe it's using the correct sensor for this, but it's detecting motion, detecting something actually moved with the PIR sensor, and then it sends it to, I believe, the hub or the cloud to analyze everything. And when there's a package or a person, anything like that, it'll send it back to you. And in the notification preview that you get, it'll gray out the video, but put a box and highlight what the motion was. So if there's a person there, it'll like crop it in and highlight the person. So I can even see on my watch where there's a person, what the motion was, versus a HomeKit notification, it just comes through as the whole picture. So if there's something small that it detected, you don't really know what it saw. So I kind of have to go in and preview it to see what it was thinking was going on. Those are just some differences. But Arlo, of course, you're paying a monthly fee on top of owning the doorbell to get those smart features. And I don't have an issue with this, especially for a doorbell camera, but that video analysis is being done, or the image analysis, object analysis being done on the cloud with Arlo versus locally on HomeKit. I believe it's just doing that straight on your HomePod or your Apple TV to determine what is what. So that is one difference there. The Arlo, a few other features that I liked, this is probably the biggest one, which is the E911. So if I'm out in CES, in a year when CES can work, and there's somebody on my front porch and they're breaking in, right from that notification, I can call 911. And on top of that, it'll route me to the local 911 switchboard operator, like where I live, versus in if I just called 911, it would route me to Las Vegas.
Right.
Because I'm in Vegas for the show. So that is a really nice feature as well with Arlo. But it's additional money. And HomeKit, there's still a ton of benefits with HomeKit. When you get those alerts on your phone coming in through HomeKit, boom, not only do you see it, but I could set off an alarm. If I have an alarm in my house, I could send off my, like I have the Acara as well as the Iota, the Abode Iota. I can turn on those alarms to scare off someone who's trying to break in which is really handy. I mean, you see someone on your porch, I'm like, oh crap. And I just, boom, hit my alarm button and it triggers it. So that's really cool. You can also turn on any lights that are in that room. So on my porch, I see someone walking up to the porch and I want to manually turn on the light for them. I can do that, or any other accessories that are in that room. So those things are really handy within that HomeKit space. I mean, just the way that everything talks together is amazing. Having it on my Apple TV, my HomePod, my Apple Watch, everything just feels so seamless and cohesive. The biggest issue is just that those notifications and the AI elements Apple needs to work on. Those are not deal breakers for me. And at the moment, I mean, check back with me in a month. At the moment, I'm sticking with the Circle View because I like the HomeKit integrations enough to make it worth it for me versus the Arlo.
Yeah.
But if I keep getting too many notifications and I start to not pay attention, that's a problem for me. When I start to kind of get notification fatigue and I don't pay attention to the notifications because I'm like, oh, it's probably just my own car again. And then that's the point where I feel like something can happen because I'm no longer checking the notifications because I assume it's going to be wrong. And then that's the time I'm going to get, you know, robbed or something because I'm not checking it. So if I start to catch myself doing that, I'm going to have to make the switch back because I knew with the Arlo, if I got a motion notification, there was someone there. There was a vehicle there. And I had more trust in it that I wasn't getting false notifications. So that's kind of where I stand at the moment. I'm still sticking with the Circle View wired doorbell for now, but we're going to have to see how it plays out.
Okay. Super interesting. So if someone is interested in doorbells, HomeKit, they want HomeKit Secure Video, they want a new doorbell, what do you recommend they do? Should they wait a little bit, see if there's some HomeKit improvements, maybe WWDC in 2021, or is this good enough where someone should jump on it?
I would still say jump on it. I mean, if you're looking for a doorbell, you're actively looking for your doorbell and you want HSV, get this now. Apple has been improving HomeKit reliably. I mean, we just got HSV in general. I mean, iOS 14 is only a few months old where we got a lot of these big features. So it's not like a lot of these things are old or anything like that. I mean, Apple's really done a lot with HomeKit in the last year or two. So I really expect them to do more with this. We're just now seeing our first doorbells come out as these problems are going to get more and more apparent because who's really used a HomeKit Secure Video doorbell in the past? There's not really a lot of them out there. So I think that's going to be cleared up. Additionally, what you can do is you may not need the notifications for the motion. So if the notifications are becoming an issue for you, you can turn off the motion notifications and only get notified like when someone presses the doorbell. That's kind of exactly where people are at, you know, with a regular doorbell, but with HomeKit support built in. So you're still going to get your chime on your HomePod. You're still going to get it on your Apple TV. You're still going to get that alert someone pressed your doorbell button on all your devices. And you can still go back and watch all your footage because it can still record whenever there's motion. And you can go through and see, oh, there's when you can have facial recognition on people in your family and all that kind of stuff. So it still will do everything, but you won't get the onslaught of notifications if it's too many for you. If you don't have your vehicle in front of your house, you're already going to get less than I do because, or at least in front of your front door. I have like a straight on view in my car, literally in front of my door. If you're like most people with your driveway to the side of the house, this won't be a problem because you're not going to have, if I have it set on alert me for people and vehicles and there's no vehicle there to reflect lights or anything like that, it's not going to identify it as a vehicle and I'm not going to get that notification. So there are people out there who are going to have a better experience than me because they don't have a vehicle in front of their house. So I still think it's worth jumping on and I still think that Apple is going to very much continue to improve this. I mean, activity zones were huge. Facial recognition was huge. The Apple's going to continue that more, I'm certain.
Okay. Well, very cool. Well, we'll put a link in show notes to Andrew's review. So definitely check that out and let us know if you pick up the Logitech Circle View doorbell, HomeKit Secure Video camera, your installation, your experience and all that. We'd love to hear about it. And so it's been a couple weeks since we've been able to touch on some listener questions. So we wanted to hit some of them that have come in the past few weeks. This first one is from David Smits, and he's looking for door or contact sensors. So it could be door or window, but he's looking for contact sensors that he doesn't need a new bridge to use and that they can interact, you know, set up automations with like his thermostat and other HomeKit devices. I'll let you recommend what you were thinking, but I would also say if you're just looking for one that you don't need a hub, the VocoLink door sensors work really well. You do not need a hub for the VocoLink ones, and so you could for sure do that. But Andrew, tell them what you were thinking as well.
I would probably go with the Eve one, mainly because, I mean, even just today, or previously when you guys are listening to this, Thread was released to support the latest generation Eve Dorn window sensors. So they don't require a hub. They support Thread, which is going to be your newest technology. I mean, when you're looking at stuff now, especially something that has the possibility of supporting Thread, I mean, if you're looking, I don't know, pick another device, thermostats, and there's no real HomeKit thermostats that support Thread. But if we're looking at Dorn window sensors, there is one, Eve. So that'd be my recommendation. I think it's going to have the best connectivity if you have a HomePod mini around, and you can set up all those automations you want.
Sounds good. So now this is Andrew from New Smyrna Beach, a fellow Floridian. What's up, Andrew? Not Andrew O'Hara. This is a third Andrew. But anyway, he was looking for a bulb for a ceiling fan or an outdoor fan that is outside, and it uses a certain type bulb. So, you know, he wants to be able to do LED smart bulb stuff with this ceiling fan. And I will put this in the show notes because this is basically going to be a call to all you listeners, see if you have any kind of solution for him. But it uses a mini canned T4 parentheses E11 style bulb. I have not seen one like this. And you can get LED styles of this bulb, but I do not know of a smart bulb that is going to be this shape. And I mean, Hue, you know, they make probably the most variety of smart bulbs, but I don't know if they have one that's going to fit in something like this. So this is a call to listeners. Help Andrew out. If you have a solution for finding a smart bulb or something that will fit in this kind of connector, I'm sure he would appreciate it. So check the show notes for that and let us know. Tweet at us, Andrew or I, use the hashtag HomeKit Insider. That'd be great.
You know, one option that might work, because I know Hue, maybe LifeX, they have E12 bulbs, which are very similar. They're like the candelabra bulbs, I believe. TradeFree also has E12 bulbs. Depending on the shape and size of his fan, he might be able to use an E12 to E11 adapter.
Okay.
There are those little adapters out there, little socket adapters that would then make that transition. So you could, if there is space, use one of those adapters and a Hue, TradeFree, maybe LifeX bulb and fit it in there.
Okay, very cool. All right, so our last question, this is from Ryan Warner on Twitter. He was asking, how are the Ecobee smart sensors in HomeKit? How good are they for motion sensors for automation? So if you have an Ecobee smart thermostat, which I have one of them, they actually come with these separate sensors that you can get. You can put multiple around your house, and then the thermostat will kind of average out all the temperatures in the different rooms to make it optimal for every room, you know, or as close as possible. And those sensors can actually be used as motion sensors as well, and then you can use those for triggers in HomeKit. Now, I will be honest, I have two of those sensors, and I have found that they are not super reliable. As motion sensors, they work-ish sometimes. Compared to the other two motion sensors I have, which I have the Akara motion sensor and the Eve motion sensor, those far and away are much more reliable and useful when triggering automations. The Eve one especially, the Eve one is like, if anything moves, if there's any kind of motion in a room, it really picks it up. And I kind of have it on top of a dresser, so it's probably not even optimal location, but the Eve one still picks up a ton of stuff. So while you can use those Ecobee smart sensors as motion stuff, I've not had a great experience, and I would much rather or would recommend get something like the Eve motion sensor or the Akara one.
So Steven, you have the new smart sensors versus the older Lilbees?
Oh, well, now that's a good question. I have the smart sensor that came with my early Ecobee. So are these different sensors now, the new ones?
Yeah, with the one of the more recent ones, they have a metal base. Do yours have a metal base or the plastic base?
No. Mine are plastic. So
okay. So you have a Lilbees.
Yes.
The newer thermostats, they include what they're calling now smart sensors. Oh. And they have a little magnetic metal base that they sit on, and otherwise they're pretty similar, but they are updated. They look a lot nicer than the Lilbees did.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't have an answer, and I want to answer because Ryan has a Buy More logo as his Twitter picture, which Chuck is like a great show, and I've recently been rewatching it. I have, oddly enough, a pair of signed Chuck Taylors signed by Yvonne Strahovski, who was in that show. So I want to be able to answer this much better. And I have smart sensors in my house, but I'm not currently using them for any HomeKit automations. I'm using them purely for temperature sensors and everything like that in HomeKit. So I will try this just to draw this out, because I didn't know we were answering this question right away, and I don't have this tested. But I will try this and see if I have any better luck with the smart sensors. I did use the Lilbies for a long time, and while they were accurate 90% of the time for me, there was still those like 10% chance. I had it on my stairs. Whenever I'd walk up and down the stairs, I had a light strip turn on, or no, it was the Nanoleaf Aurora, which is now just called like their smart panels. But I had that turn on whenever we walk up and down the stairs to add lighting. And I did it different times a day and all that. And it was like 90% of the time it would activate. And then like 10% it didn't. Which would always be like middle of the night, 10% didn't work. And like, no. So I will test this. I will try the new smart sensors and see if they are any more accurate or quicker for me than they are in the past. I will double down with what you said, Steven, that the Eve one is pretty awesome. I have that in our master bathroom with a light strip underneath the cabinets, and it turns on and off different times of day, different brightnesses, whenever you walk in the bathroom. Really handy without having to turn on the bathroom lights at, you know, 2 a.m. if you have to go in there and not get blinded by your lights.
Well, keep those questions and recommendations coming. Continue to tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes, and use the hashtag HomeKit Insider. Don't forget, you can listen to the other podcasts on AppleInsider.com. We have Apple Insider Daily, which is a show every day giving you the latest news right there. Also, our weekly show on Friday, Apple Insider. You can just search for that in your podcast app of choice. We've had some more reviews. I think it's like 13 to 21 and a half at this point. And you guys are awesome for continuing to drop those reviews. So if you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. And you can share the podcast as well. You can share the links to the article that goes up or from whatever podcast app you listen to. Thanks for joining us again this week. We'll catch you next time.